So, there had been hope of a sermon series called Some Advice. I guess God didn't want us to have all the advice. But there are some that we still want to touch upon. So if you would join me in that letter to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, it's the last chapter of that letter, verses 6 through 19. Remember, this is a letter from Paul, written to, it's called a pastoral epistle, to Timothy, a follower, a believer, who we meet in Acts 16. We're going to be talking actually about that chapter a lot. But we are introduced to Timothy in Acts 16, 1. And that's who this letter is. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 19. The beauty of contentment. The godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. The beauty of contentment. That moment when you feel that you have enough. Except the world always wants you to be in want. The world always wants you to be reminded you don't have everything. That you need more. And God wants to remind you, you have enough. In this moment, you are good. But the world wants us constantly, constantly in that need, in that angst, in the, I just need to calm myself down, so that we have to buy our happiness, so that we buy our peace, so that someone is always profiting off our misfortune. And God just wants to remind you, be still. You are okay in this moment. That is a gift that you can feel all the time. And any of my fellow anxiety sufferers are like, oh no, at 2 a.m., I promise you, I'm not feeling content when I can't fall asleep, when I am tired or hungry and I close my eyes and all of a sudden I remember every to-do thing for all of the month, all of the year, for the next 10 years. Someone's always going to be hungry. Someone's always going to need this. I have to go save this money. I have to go do my schedule. That's the world. Do you know when you take a moment what God says? Isn't this nice? To just be here. To just be together. That is such a gift. And it doesn't get enough notice in this world. When I tell you the world is screaming at you, it is. There are colors they use in those commercials to grab your attention. Yellow is usually the highlight color. To make you notice that it's flashing, to make you know that you aren't enough. So you have to purchase the right set of clothes. You have to purchase the right food. You have to go to the right doctors. You have to go to the right schools. You have to go to the right stores. And God says, oh, I will provide. But God, is it going to be the best of the best? Well, you don't think I do quality? But God, is it going to be the name brand? Is my name not good enough? God wants us to find contentment. And Paul preaches it over and over. He just did in this letter to Timothy. Now remember, this isn't a letter to the churches. This wasn't a letter to the masses. I don't think he had any idea it would ever go into our scripture. This was a letter to a friend. This is that meme you send to your friend, a text, to say, this made me laugh today. This is what's on my mind. In the phone call when you go off on a rampage for 20 minutes. That's what this letter to Timothy is. This is what's been on my mind. This is what's on my heart. This is my message for you to share with others. To find contentment. To find peace in a world that's not offering it. When you chase money, it's going to wash through your hands like water. See, we think a raise sounds great, right? Like if you are getting promoted, and let's say, just for some math purposes, it's a raise of $24,000 a year. That's above whatever you're making. That's $2,000 extra dollars a month. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is going to help pay all those bills that I have extra. But we never take the worldly cost. Because Uncle Sam's going to take a good chunk of that $2,000, right? So he'll take his part. And then usually a job doesn't go, hey, we're promoting you. You're going to do less work. They're going to want you to show up more. Or maybe it's a little more taxing of work. Probably includes travel and takes you away from your family, your home, your daily life. Which means you're probably not in your kitchen with all your staples, which means you're probably going out to eat. And you're probably compensating because you're miserable because you're not home. So maybe you're finding some extra comfort items, maybe a special blanket, a special travel pillow, whatever needs you need to make this work. The stress of taking on extra responsibility, so maybe you're going to extra counseling. Maybe you're getting one of those meditation apps. Maybe you're having these services. Now you're like, I don't have time to do laundry, so you've got a dry cleaning bill. You're adding on all these services, and you've got the extra money. And then at the end of the month, you're like, I don't have anything extra. And I'm tired, and I'm stressed. And I'm not happy, but I'm making more money. What's that saying? More money, more problems. Money can't ever be the goal. It's never going to bring you that peace and that contentment you want. I know when we're kind of lacking, we're like, oh, I'd like to pay some of these bills. I think that'd bring me peace. somebody else is going to be knocking on the door for that same amount of money. But if you find contentment in the here and now, oh, that's treasure. And that's what Paul repeatedly reminds you when he talks about it in his letters to the churches. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. In the letter to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. 13 is that one I bet a lot of you hold on to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's because those first two verses in front of that are about finding contentment. You can live in a luxurious house and still be for want. And you can still be in need and still know you're loved. God does not discriminate among the social classes. The world does. But God loves you the same if you're a billionaire or if you've got pennies to your name. You know who we know in the Bible? We know the widow who's got two coins and drops them in. We're not naming the people who are in the riches that often. Unless they're doing good things with it. God wants us to be generous wherever we fall on that line. And we can be generous when we know we're in a good place. That God's gonna provide for us. When we collect the soup, when we collect those canned goods, when we take maybe the dollar out of our coffee fund to give ice cream to the school across the street, I promise you that ice cream is going to be remembered much more than your daily coffee. But the world doesn't want you to think of others. The world doesn't want you to put your hand out to help. Because if somebody feels peace, you might not have that urgency to go shopping. That urgency to buy all the newest gadgets. Paul reminds us to be content, and he didn't just do it in words, he also did it in actions. When I tell you to check out that Acts 16, it's a very powerful chapter. Acts is our history. That's the start of the church, the start of, okay, Jesus has been crucified, now what? That's what that book of Acts is. This is what's happening right after. This is where we're introduced to Paul. This is where we're introduced to Timothy, I said, is that 16:1. If we go down to verse 16, that's where we're going to talk about. Right before that was Lydia. That is pretty much what every Protestant Christian denomination uses as their baptism belief. It's very funny. We use it to say that infant baptism is exactly what was meant, and other churches use that exact same verse to say that it's a believer's baptism. But we all agree that's kind of the chapter with Lydia and her family, in case you're kind of wondering why that's a difference of opinion. And this 16, Paul and some of the others have been traveling. They've been to these houses, they're doing the baptisms, they're winning people over. And they had gone to a spot of prayer where they came across a slave girl. And she was filled with a spirit that gave her the power to fortune tell. And as they are walking, Paul and his comrades, she is shouting from the streets, "These men are servants of God who are telling you how to be saved. These men are servants of God who are telling you how the way to be saved. These men are servants of God who are telling you the way to be saved." Over and over, she's following them and announcing this everywhere they go. And Paul finally says, "Enough. Spirit, be gone." And the spirit leaves her body, which means she has now lost the gift of telling fortunes and being a prophet. And her masters, who were making a boatload of money off of this, are agitated and angry that Paul has stolen their profits. And so they take Paul and Silas to the middle of town, announce to the magistrates and the authorities, "These men are Jews who are leading the Romans astray." And being accused of this horrible crime, they were immediately brought to jail and told to the jailer that basically they are the worst criminals of all, and brought to the center of the jail, put in the footstocks. They were arrested for not doing wrong, but were arrested all the same, told that they were the worst criminals. And when I tell you Paul preached contentment, what are him and Paul and Silas doing? Singing praises and thanksgiving to God. Amen. Singing so loud, all the prisoners are listening. And the Bible suggests around midnight that as they're singing these songs of praises in a nightmare, in a moment that we would be traumatized by, how many of us would say, "This isn't fair. God, you've left me. God, do you see? I'm still here. I was telling people how to find you, and they brought me to jail." Maybe some of us would have copped an attitude, but not Paul and Silas. They're singing their praises. "God, you are the King of Kings. You are awesome. You love us." Amen. And what happened? All the jail opened. The shackles fell from their feet. And the jailer, who had been sleeping, awoke with a start, saw that the prison was open, and feared for his life, because he thought everyone had ran away, grabbed his sword to kill himself, when Paul, in gracious haste, ran to the door and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, we're still here. You're okay." And in that moment, the jailer fell to his knees and said, "Tell me about God. How am I to be saved?" In the middle of his nightmare, he sang praises to God and was winning souls, leading them to hope and freedom and salvation. So when I tell you Paul preached the beauty of contentment, to not put your faith in the world, to not put your faith in others, to not put your faith in money of all things, to put your faith in God. And that's exactly what he did, and was winning lives over. So when you are in a "this is unfair" moment, because we're human, that's also a good time to sing a praise. Yes, feel your pain. Share that with God. But also remember to say, "Thank you, God, for being here, even in my nightmare." That's the beauty of contentment, that it can happen anywhere, anytime. Remembering that God's timing is perfect and that God loves you and wants the best for you. Just as we heard in the song, no matter what. Another reminder from Paul is in 8:28. That's not as much about contentment as it is that God provides for those that believe in him. That's the reminder. That's the assurance. God wants the best for you. And so as we go into communion today, as the world goes into communion today, let us be thankful that God truly meets our needs and many of our wants. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, as we gather in your name, as we celebrate the words of Paul, his actions, his love for you and devotion, let us too be like followers and ambassadors in Christ, that even in our worst circumstances, you love us and provide for us. In your precious and holy name, amen.